Cast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Well, hi, everybody, and good evening. Here from Finland. We are working on the pre-full moon for Virgo. Now, lots of things are happening all at once. I just got finished with the broadcast, substituting for Tuya, where we were dealing with the sacred pentagram meditation, the second one, and I think there's just going to be the fifth one is my guess on Monday. We'll try to let you know on that, but for sure Tuya is going to attempt to do something up there in the north. Hopefully we have the equipment adjusted correctly and all of that. So today, we're going to be also in just a few hours. Well, let's see how many hours, exactly 7 hours from now, we'll be doing a broadcast on the exact moment of the full moon. We'll start it earlier, of course. The 3 o'clock in the morning is GMT. We don't vary that. Is when the program begins at our usual YouTube list, and we have in the chat box some of these links that you need if you don't have them. And then the exact moment of the full moon will be at 4:32 and 38 seconds. You know, using the Swiss ephemeris, the Swiss somehow are quite accurate. So that seems to be the best, excuse me, non-rounded off way of approaching. And so there's quite a few of us here today, and I think too many to welcome personally, but I just want to say I see you, and I'm very happy that you have joined us, okay? Yeah. Just running through, you know, the list and getting it under my belt so I know who is here. Although I guess I don't think so much in those terms when actually doing the meditation, and then neither should you. let's see. And Tuya has made it too. Okay, excellent. All right. Well, I guess what you're looking at here is a picture of the our local cosmos system within our local, one about whom not may be said. See that big yellow circle? Well, you know, it's at least 7 times greater than our local one about whom not may be said. The little green triangle is what you are looking at as our cosmic logo. So there's quite a hierarchical arrangement of things as we ascend towards, and it'll take a long time, long, long time, towards the universal logos. We don't even have really a name for that. Sometimes we talk about various cosmic logoi and all that, but they fall far too short of what this huge being is who embraces the entire universe. When we're talking oftentimes about cosmic logoi and the first, second, and third logos and all that, we're still right within our galaxy. And the galaxy is immense, 100 billion stars, and Andromeda's bigger, and there's galaxies with 6 trillion stars and probably bigger than that. So you'll have plenty of opportunity in time and space to recognize that you are the whole thing anyway. But of course, it has to be done in such a way that it impresses us as real rather than just words, okay? Now, I think, you know what I usually do, and since I just finished that other work in the other room in the temple, I'm not right in the temple right now. I want to find if I can find it. I should have done that earlier, naturally, of course. And this is the, I want to find my usual pictures. Okay, so at least, and here we go. And hopefully I can, hopefully I can find them. It'll just take me a second that I'm sorry, it's just too much to do. Too much to do tonight, I'm afraid. And let's see if that's going to give me what I need. And images, it's it's webinar images, and at least I should have the Joffre image, at least that. And I do have Francis's images, so I think we'll be okay. Sorry for the little delay here. And here is Mr. Joffre. All right. Well, this is a much associated design with the angelic kingdom. And we see the wings there. Master Moria comments on the wings that arise from the shoulder blades, and you really have to earn that kind of thing. There's so many galaxies as you look in the direction of Virgo. I think that's represented by this Joffre painting, and all of the kind of occult and esoteric books and scrolls that are open there in front of the angelic figure. It's a sign of very deep study under Mercury, but also of the redemption of matter. Maybe you notice up here that we have the four archangelic influences of the bull, the lion, the eagle, well, eagle instead of the scorpion, and then the sort of Aquarian man. It goes Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, and here the release, the liberation comes. In the sign Aquarius. Mercury, of course, is a major, major planet in this constellational energy, which comes from the second. It was so powerful in the second part of the previous solar system, but now it's doing something entirely different. It used to prepare matter, and we had a very mental material solar system. In the first of the major solar systems, the last one, and that was billions of years ago. And if you trust the chronology of things, it was even trillions of years ago. You wonder how those vast periods are possible. Madame Blavatsky assures us of the accuracy of this Brahmanical chronology. So it's, you know, it's sort of the birth of the Milky Star stuff that is the work of Virgo, a strong sign of manifestation, and yet now it is learning or teaching us how to manifest the inner glory, the Christ within us. Now Virgo is a second ray sign and a sixth ray sign, and we've been told, and we should remember, that more of the second ray of love wisdom is coming through Virgo at this time than through any other source. So it's not just intelligence and matter anymore. We are cultivating some deep level of consciousness and learning how to nurture that. And of course, nurturance of all kinds is connected with Virgo. And here she has the sheaf of wheat. Sometimes it's been said that the wheat is actually coming from Venus, and just the way the bees that make the honey are coming from Venus as well. I think this is kind of a Blavatsky idea. But anyway, Virgo is involved with the nurturance of our physical nature and its purification, but also with the purification and nurturance of the astral body. We really cleanse it in Virgo, and we become, psychologically clean, devoid of the usual kinds of glamorous. This is what happens when we really apply ourselves with clarity of mind that Virgo gives. It's interesting that Mercury is not only the ordinary exoteric ruler of Virgo, but it's exalted in that sign according to some systems of thought, and it represents God the Sun or the soul nature within man. So we're striving for the higher side of Virgo here, and we're trying to lift the material element into the psychological element. I mean, there are such excellent psychologists that are equipped with this sign, and believe it or not, statistically, we find a lot of current day philosophers also born in or under the sign Virgo. Let's see if there's anything else. Well, it's everything about the beauty of nature and the study of what has made nature, what has made manifestation. So we really get a very excellent idea of how the precipitation has taken place. It's also, if you've been following the work we've been doing on the signs of triangles, we recognize that one of the crises, he gives us seven crises, or maybe even nine or 10, associated with different signs. Virgo is the crisis of the birthplace. And with Capricorn, it's leading to the beginning of the entry into the fifth kingdom of nature. So, you know, when we talk about being born of the Virgin, we're talking about born of the vir, the, you know, the vibrancy, the virility, strengthened personality, because it does take a strong personality to give birth to the Christ impulse, and then we're off on a whole new type of development. And interestingly, if you think about it, you might not associate Virgo with the monad, but the monadic plane, which is the second of the cosmic subplanes, you know, which one can I say, this one here, that's ruled by Virgo, of all things. So the whole idea of a redemptive mission to descend deeply into matter and to redeem the substance of the lower five Brahmic planes is a very Virgoan thing to do, and that's the impulse behind it, a great cleansing and elevation. It's such an ancient sign. It has a great lore to it, we might say, and we can look at it. It's going to rule people of all different kinds, and it just depends on where we stand on the path of a path of evolution. And you know, here is the a banner which Tuya created. I am the mother and the child. I God, I matter am, and it's an M sign. And it deals with all three aspects of divinity, just the way Scorpio does as well. So we may start out with Mercury, but you know, in terms of intelligence in matter, but before you know it, we're going to be dealing with the moon. And the moon is the veil of two important planets, Vulcan, the spiritual will of the soul, the craftsman. You know, see, Vulcan is the craftsman preparing beautiful objects to hold a higher energy. And the personality, of course, is meant to be just such a beautiful object to hold the quality of the soul, of the triad, and of the monad. So Vulcan is shaping all that up through spiritual will. We may not use Vulcan very much yet. It hasn't really been discovered as far as the majority of human beings is concerned, but when it is, it's going to lead to sort of a reformulating of the material element and a strengthening of it and the imposition of the spiritual will of the soul. Now, interestingly enough, that moon is veiling both Vulcan and emotionally and transcendently, it veils Neptune. So it takes us right up to the Buddhic plane, again, where the Christ principle has a very great freedom of expression. And look at Jupiter here. Jupiter is considered the hierarchical ruler of Virgo, and Jupiter is the ruler of the second subplane, where the monad is found. In so many ways, the expansive, inclusive monad is represented by Jupiter. Jupiter in a very high type of expression, on hierarchical expression, found in Virgo. It's a great benevolence, you know. Jupiter is a benevolent planet, and it takes us in a great sort of pilgrimage where we're gathering together, finally, the red cattle of Chiron, in the last labor of Hercules under Pisces, also ruled by Jupiter, pervasive wisdom. And we lift the red into the blue, basically. The red representing Mars and desire, and the blue representing affiliation with our great blue logos. So this is an amazing, whoop, looks like I froze there. This is an amazing sign. And let's see if I can get myself back. If not, you know, we'll just do this. Well, maybe we'll just let it go. We'll just let it go. We'll see how it goes. All right. Now, also, of course, Francis has this, his usual excellent considerations in this regard. And one of his images is of the lady in the arc of form and matter, and the chalice of form, receiving from the higher realms. So his explanations, I could go through them right now, but I think the best thing is for you to go to the Amoria Federation, and I think in the chat box here it tells you where you can find, yes, here it is, okay, his evocative images and commentary for all the signs. You know, here the great weaving is going on, and the different signs of the zodiac, in this case, ninefold, are being woven together on the warp and woof of matter energy. And so the previous third ray of Virgo is very strong. And notice that the weaver is somehow pregnant with new possibilities. And so Francis has gone into a lot of excellent detail here to represent the potencies of Virgo. But if you think about it, the matter, the material of life is woven together in a very, there we go. All right, I can talk to you again. Well, or at least you can, whoops. Oh, that's no good. That's no good. I think I better get rid of that. I'm sorry. I'd like to be able to see the whites of your eyes, you know, or at least have you see mine. And so let's see if I can bring us over to up in the corner there where we belong. So it's a very dense type of weaving. And now if you're a good fifth ray student of matter and you get into chemistry and atomic chemistry and into nuclear physics, you'll realize the complexity of that world. And that world is very much related to the Virgoan ability to work within the lower elemental substance. As far as this is more the material aspect of Virgo, we might say, and sometimes he says, these nine signs ending with Virgo give us the birth of the human being, and leaves out a few signs, but then he explains the ninefold progression. And here the chalice is being built, and the moon is somehow suggested, and the arc on which the higher figures float is shown to us. All of us are building a chalice. In Agni Yoga, there's a constant reference to the idea of the chalice, and pretty much one has to think of it as the higher head center, or maybe as the egoic lotus itself. So Francis has some beautiful things to say there. If you haven't read his material, please go into Maurya Federation there and read what he has to say about the various signs. Sometimes I have a little more time than others to discuss them. And of course, the quotations of Master DK. I hope that you are reading the Esoteric Astrology book. Why do I hope that? Because it is the most occult book that he wrote, because he says it deals particularly and strictly with energy, with substance energy. So, you know, the whole situation here in our cosmos is one of varying energies under substanded by the principle of being. So we have to deal with the relative world of all of these interactions, and Virgo is so good at analyzing all of these interactions, and we have to deal with the absolutely homogeneous, identical world of be-ness, as Madame Blavatsky describes it, you know, be-ness. It's hard when you try to search for words to represent pure being. I like the word. It's not as elegant as be-ness, but it's is-ness. I like that quite a bit. And to me, it suggests what's really precipitated out of this one fundament, the ground of all being. And Virgo, of course, has a lot to do with that precipitation and with the Mula Prakriti. It's a lower example of Mula Prakriti. You know, it relates to our local system, but a similar type of precipitation occurs from a very, very high level. So we have to learn how to manage our exoteric affairs as well as the esoteric requirements upon us. And, you know, it's a major sign of discipleship. And if we're going to be a successful disciple, we have to dot our I's and cross our T's and fulfill the rather exacting requirements of Virgo. And you probably know what they are in your particular life. They're usually considered to be chores of some kind or another, things that are left over, kind of unfinished, and Virgo helps you meticulously and selflessly deal with them, because it brings about the right kind of humility in the face of that which must be accomplished. So go in there and read what Francis has had to say about that. And of course, we have lots of nice offerings, you know, that are coming up from our Maurya Federation faculty. And right now, Francis particularly is offering two of them, the Secret Doctrine series every month and the Secret Teaching of All Ages by Manly Hall every month. And BL and Eva Smith are doing some things on astrology. And Elena, a number of our faculty members are just diving in there and trying to offer you what they know. So do take advantage of this higher version of the radio, as it were. DK says the teaching will go forth over the radio. Well, here we have it, and take advantage of it if you can. All right. So I'm not going to go any further with that. And what I am going to do then is get into the meditation and keep myself from enlarging too much here. I should just be up in the corner there. Yeah. I am the mother and the child. I, God, I matter, am, and Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, somehow, I'm looking for this, and here it is, the meditation itself.
Michael, you have a, never mind, it went away.
Do I have a never mind? Yes, often do.
there was a hand up, but it was put down.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, when you come and join us on our glamour discussions and the science of triangles and all that, we do have discussions. Okay. But now for these pre-full moon meditations and so forth, there's not that kind of interchange. I just kind of go on and we get into the energies. So if you want some discussions on various parts of occultism, come to our Dissipating Glamour workshops, which is on Friday, or to the Triangles, Science of Triangles workshop webinar, which is on Wednesday. And then go to Makara too, also, because there's a lot of things there that have been rendered into video and which may answer a lot of questions. Okay, here we go. So we're on this, pretty much this day of dedication. Actually, we've entered the 12 hours for the receiving and the holding, and the way Master DK did it, you know, he told his students that he would be on the lookout for their group approach to the ashram. Not so much individuals, but the group approach to the ashram in the 12 hours preceding the full moon. So we're in that right now. We're in that period of receiving and holding. And another 6.5 hours and 6.5 and another 8 hours or so, we'll be right at the point of the full moon. And then, of course, we distribute. That means, you know, you're always tuned in. You're always tuned in with the planets, which are more powerful at this time, and with the gifts of the constellations through the signs. And you kind of, no matter what you're doing, you kind of keep them in the background of your consciousness so that you can be a channel for their expression, you know. Regarding the whole idea of channeling, there are legitimate and illegitimate ways of going about this. And if you and I eventually become not just translucencies, but transparencies for those great energies, then we will have fulfilled an important requirement. We don't want to be opaque. The opaque, the translucence, the transparent. Eventually, we want to be transparent to the ambient energies. Okay, so let's all get together in a little bit of silence. And wherever we may be, just that feeling of coming together in consciousness. I think we will discover one day that we really are non-local. We appear to be local through limited perception, but we're not really. And finally, omnipresence rules, and we find that we, like God, whatever God we're talking about here, the big ones, our centers everywhere. So we can feel that gathering, and we want to withdraw from the personality vehicles, withdraw our consciousness. We are in one sense, the soul within the personality, the immersed soul, the projection of consciousness within the personality. And we want to carry that down, light, love, and power, into the personality. We want to be able to be free to come and go. We want to descend and reascend, and descend and reascend at will. So as we try to realize more deeply that we are not only the soul in incarnation, but really we're the soul on its own plane, we imagine ourselves pulling back, abstracting. We have the body, but we are not the body. We have the feelings and desires, but we are not them. We have the many thoughts and mental processes, but we are not them. We actually are, well, we keep on taking away the veils. And the next step is to be in the world of light and love and spiritual sacrificial will that gives spiritual power. So just imagine somehow that you can focus on the higher mental plane. In the realm of quality, the soul is the quality of life. We are told the quality of life. And in that world of color and sound and beauty, which we are building as King Solomon's temple, we have to learn to focus. See if we can do that. And then if we can, we will touch each other in a new way, and we'll have that sense of group soul. And in that group soul, we'll meet spiritually minded people, and we'll meet them in the soul aspect, the men and women of goodwill. As if you're really related to every one of them. And to the members of the new group of world servers, maybe a little more advanced and conscious than the average man or woman of goodwill, there's a sense of really touching into the life of the other servers on this planet, finding them somehow in the realm of the soul and in the realm of the soul-infused personality. So everyone who's expressing that goodwill and the more active service, more demanding service, we're really in touch with them. Even if we don't know them personally. And basically, if we took it further, with every human being in or out of incarnation, there's no such thing, we're told, as a bad soul. personalities get distorted and evil in a way, some. But the higher aspects of the man are working very hard against that type of development. So somehow humanity is one. And we kind of know it. We feel it. And we begin to realize a very occult fact about this one soul, one consciousness of humanity. There is no my soul or thy soul. We're told, don't use the thought, my soul and thine. Don't use that thought. Because naught is but me. A great second ray affirmation. It requires work if it's going to be more than just words. Naught is, naught is but me, capital M-E. More like this. So we're gathered and we want to touch the higher aspects of our nature. We want to move into that area we call the spiritual triad and the monad. We need the bridge of light to be built and functional. So when we're doing these meditations in the group sense, we'll imagine our rainbow bridge, the group rainbow bridge, from the astral to the Buddhic plane, passing through the accumulated energies around the mental unit, drawing in to a sphere of retained energies around the mental unit, the energies of the knowledge petals, the energies of the love petals in the hall of learning, the energies of the sacrifice petals in the hall of wisdom, the energies of the synthesis petals, maybe we would call it the hall of life or livingness, and the energy of the jewel and the lotus reflecting the monad, all of them, what energies can be drawn in to the sphere around the mental unit. We draw in and retain them. These are the instructions Master DK gives. And the rainbow bridge is going to pass right through those retained energies. It's going to lift them up and carry them into the area of the spiritual triad. The abstract mind, then later the Buddhic intuition, then later the spiritual will. So we will imagine. We'll sound the Om three times, and we'll use a word of power. I see the greatest light. It's the second ray. Word of power, and will all the different colors of the rainbow bridge, and maybe our soul ray and personality ray colors are shining quite strongly there, but for the moment, let's use the indigo color as the major color in our group effort. I see the greatest light. So say that inwardly as you're sounding the Om. We're reaching into that great impersonal world where global consciousness can be found, planetary consciousness, and maybe beyond. We may not quite reach the permanent atoms of the Buddhic and atmic planes, they're too high, but we will be met by a descending force from those areas, and where the meeting takes place is quite a demonstration of light and higher energy and wisdom. It's as if we can have triadal light, triadal love, and triadal will. And this is the place where the masters habitually focus their consciousness. They have reached connection with the monad, starting from the fourth initiation, roughly. And they think in non-local terms, in global terms, in planetary terms, in impersonal terms, just as we have to learn to think. And we express our solidarity with them by saluting them, pledging our solidity here, because the light of Shambhala can shine just a little bit upon us, and maybe we're in a position to have that long inward Om where the will of God, of which the masters are the custodians, the will of God begins to mean something to us. imagine carrying out your daily activities as if you were engaged actually in carrying out a small portion of the will of God, our planetary logos. Virgo is very good for that because it's a sign of obedience to a higher will, a sign of humility where one is willing to acquiesce to a higher will. It's, you know, the sign of the garden and the flourishing of the garden. And there it was that the Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane took up his place and came in touch with the higher will, the will of the monad, and acquiesced. So in both those signs, Virgo, Pisces, you can say, not my will, Father, but thine be done. What is there in our lives right now where the saying of that statement and meaning it could make of us a better disciple? And maybe one day we'll discover that that superior will is, after all, our will. That's as our identity begins to change and to become, strange as it may seem, identical with the will of the planetary logos and beyond. It would be quite a different world, wouldn't it, for ourselves and for humanity as a whole, if we could acquiesce in the matter of, not my will, Father, but thine be done. So we give our solidarity, we offer to the Christ and to the masters we work with and so forth. We express that we stand with them. We recognize where they stand and what they're trying to do for humanity and the kingdoms of nature and the planet. We express in this salutation our willingness to cooperate. And use your creative imagination as you go through this. It was a meditation given by the Tibetan to some of his students. Salutations to the Christ, the Master of all Masters. Salutations to the Master Moria, the head of all esoteric schools and organizations. Salutations to the Master Kutumi, the head of the second ray ashram, and the Chohan, whose ashram is most intensively involved in the process we call the reappearance of the Christ. Salutations to the Master Jual Kul, who has, as the messenger of the Master, given us the blue books and who is particularly training aspirants for the first two and even the third initiation. Salutations to your own master as you know him to be or conceive him to be. And finally, salutations to the entire spiritual hierarchy of the planet. And if we can, you know, just the thought of Shambhala, one has to be on the first ray as a master or a Chohan in other cases to enter the portals of Shambhala. So those are ignorant exaggerations on the part of so many, but we can at least gather the purpose. And what is that purpose? A little bit of it, working through the plan as it works out in our group life and in our particular individual life. We'll have a little silence on that. We are in the midst of a great spiritual propaganda undertaking, the propagation of the ideas associated with the ageless wisdom, and humanity really needs this. So I think we know what we have to do. Try to live our life according to the purpose. Now we're ready to begin our imaginative pilgrimage, exposing us to the higher energies. And we do this on, by now familiar to you, a golden pathway where we all gather in a radiant point of light, love, and power, and that pathway, that golden pathway, is leading right into the heart of an indigo love wisdom disc, where we imagine we meet the consciousness of Master DK in this case. And the golden pathway moves in such a way that it shortens and shortens, taking us as a group with it until we find ourselves within the indigo sphere. Almost like some kind of intimacy with the solar logos. And there is the consciousness of Master DK, and to what little degree we can, and a little bit, we try to be outposts of that very perceptive consciousness, which knows so much about the planets and the hierarchies and the signs and the rays, you know. We move together. And we're going to basically contact Mercury, the acute, discriminative, intelligent mind, intelligent especially in the field of the personality. We're going to contact imaginatively, and maybe in a felt sense, the moon, which is veiling Vulcan and Neptune, conveying endurance and the Christ consciousness. And then finally, perhaps the planet Jupiter, the hierarchical ruler, the consummated expression of expansion of the Christ principle, as it is experienced on the monadic plane. Some of this, of course, is imaginative. You know, we're not coming and going in the courts of Shambhala just yet. Well, these planets are strong now. They're always there, but they are particularly featured at this time. different planets at different times. So let's first imagine Mercury. Some of us maybe know what it looks like, you know. Doesn't really have much of an atmosphere in the outer sense. It looks quite pockmarked, as if it's been hit many times by impacts. Quite close to the sun, Vulcan closer, of course. Mercury, the sun of mind, the acute ability. We focus on this, the acute ability to use the mind analytically with lucidity and with reason, reasonably, so that the mind can really not only reveal the environment, but prepare the form for the coming of the Christ principle in the heart. Preparing the form with full intelligence so that the Christ principle can be received. We think about that for a little bit. The presence of Mercury right now. Now, you know, the gifts of the planets, we do need these in ever higher demonstrations. It's a very old occult planet. Receiving, we are told, seven times the solar light that reaches Earth, Venus. Three times the light, but Mercury seven times. We can only imagine Vulcan. So we let this stream of Mercurian energy to our groups, into our individual life. Where do we really need it? Remember that the Tibetan is called Mercury. Identified as he is with Gemini. And he has this great ability to communicate the practical side of the wisdom to us, and also the abstract side. So into our group and groups flows this analytical, practical, matter-knowing, form-knowing mind. And let's sound the Om as we see this happening and benefiting the luminosity of our groups. The practical intelligence of our groups and also of ourselves individually, it increases through the agency of Mercury in relation to Virgo. But then we move on, and it's not so much the moon we're interested in, except that it is the symbol for the form, but the spiritual will of Vulcan, which is veiled, and the great Buddhic sensitivity, which works through the emotional body at first. Vulcan and Neptune, they're so different. Vulcan, very first ray, very concentrated. Beating us, hammering us, at least what we call us, hammering us into shape through pressure. And then Neptune feeling out towards the Christ consciousness. The Christ is Neptune, and he's called Neptune. We're going to get ourselves in spiritual shape through Vulcan. But we're not going to lose our sensitivity. That's just going to increase through Neptune. So two planets here are hidden by the veiling moon. Three in Aquarius, but two here. Vulcan, Neptune. The hard and the soft. The concentrated will and the great intuitive touching of the other until the other is realized as one's own self. So let's as if see those streams of energy, maybe kind of a reddish orange of Vulcan, and Neptune is the bluest of the planets in real life, visible life, but sometimes the rose color is used. Let's see those qualities flowing into our groups, augmenting the capability of our groups and our own as well. So we take them in. Finally, the hierarchical ruler, Jupiter, opening the door. Opening, finally, the door to monadic awareness and realization. It's as if we're going from the astral plane to the Buddhic plane, and finally now to the monadic plane. And this great Christ energy, it must permeate the worlds of Brahma, Christ is symbolically sitting at the right hand of the Father on the logoic plane, but has this monadic awareness, embracing, including, seeing all beings as one in the spirit. Now, could we use that expansive, inclusive consciousness, the royal purplish blue of Jupiter, could we use that in our groups and individually? Could we bring all things together? Jupiter does that. And opens the door to a very high expression of the Christ energy and towards eventually an appreciation of what is the cosmic Christ. So let's watch that energy flow into our groups and into our individual life and feel the great embracing expansiveness of Jupiter. Jupiterian life, the heart center, also the heart within the head, the inclusiveness of the Christ energy and his power to uplift matter, in this case, into a higher demonstration. So these are the energies available now. Really available. We have to tune in. And that of the heart of the sun. This great being in whom we live and move and have our being. The logos of our solar system. The blending of the lights, the merging of the three aspects of divinity, these are the things that are possible now. The rays coming through of love, wisdom, and of devotion. You know, if you've gone into monasteries and convents as they are meant to be, and as they are demonstrated by some, quite apart from the corruption now being unearthed, fortunately unearthed, you do see that clean, uplifting, disciplined energy, focusing on the higher possibilities, but still taking care of the practical necessities. So here we are in the feeling of the earth, our logos, a second ray soul, and in the great feeling of our solar logos, a second ray soul. And really, we are a unit of love, a unit of love, wisdom. And as these three lights blend of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost in Virgo, we think we meditate for a little bit here, and increasingly as we go on, I am the mother and the child. I, God, I, matter, am. Very inclusive, really, isn't it? I am the mother and the child. I, God, I, matter, am. And then he says, really, the mantram which expresses most accurately the mission of Virgo, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So let's give some moments of silent meditation to this. And see what insight might come. I am the mother and the child, I, God, I, matter, am Christ in you, the hope of glory. I am the mother and the child, I, God, I, matter, am. It's inclusive from the highest to the lowest, and under these circumstances you can realize the mantram, naught is but me, naught is but me. This is this ability to identify as the three aspects of divinity, the objective, the subjective, and the conscious relation between. Very synthetic and helping us unify all divisions. So keep the three aspects of divinity in your mind, and as you go through your normal life at this time, what is of the mother? What is of the Father? What is of the Son, the Christ? The relation between the subject and the object. And maybe if we get into the phase of contemplation, we can unify the subject and the object. I am the mother and the child. I, God. I, matter, am. Now, so few people realize that a glorification lies ahead of them. They look at the demonstrations by the Christ as unique to him, and they do not pay attention to the idea that greater things shall ye do than I do. But as educators, we can help that situation. And we know if we take care of the little things in life, we come closer to the glorification. But the smallest grain of sand, says Master Moria, can stop the largest wheel. So there are no small chores or tasks or things that must be done. They all count, so that we can be released into the glory of the inner soul. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We live in that great being, the one about whom naught may be said. Surprising how vast is that unknown logos. And our zodiac is very important because it's the heart and the head center of this great being. It's in the rays and initiations. You read that and it's astonishing. So very high centers the zodiac represents. And in this case, you know, goes forth perhaps through the constellation Orion with its seven first magnitude stars, huge stars. Really, thousands and thousands of luminosities greater than the luminosity of our sun. And then into our local cosmic logos, in which our solar logos is a heart center, We live in quite a heart center in this solar system. And on out to Mercury, to Neptune, to Vulcan, to Jupiter, all, for us at least, active at this time. And into Shambhala, where our monad resides. What does it mean? Well, one day we'll know for sure. Into the hierarchy where our soul resides. The real soul, that is, you know, Atma Buddhi Manas. And down into the personality, especially through the head center and the heart center. And the solar plexus, and then back to the heart center. The impulse, Christ in you, the hope of glory, the cosmic Christ in relation to the greater being as the hope of glory. These are real things. And so, for a few days, let's be especially aware of the subtle energies, especially try to express that ray too of love and wisdom, and to clean and purify and uplift the personal nature. And to detect in detail the passage of many energies that are not available at other times. And let's apply these energies to the things that must be done, the chores of the spiritual life. We don't imagine that it can get any easier, do we? Not for a while, anyway. And the world is in need of these energies, isn't it? Of love, of wisdom, of devotion, of purity, cleanliness, divorce from materialism, but at the same time, the spiritualizing of material. Let's think into the world and see if we can locate an area where the energies are particularly needed now, at least in our opinion, and send those energies into that area of our globe so things can improve. And maybe during these days where there is abuse, where there is hatred, prejudice, filth, materialism, blindness to the spirit, maybe some of those conditions can be lifted, start on their way to improvement. So now, resolved to make the most of the available energies, we will close our meditation with the great invocation. And of course, we know this by heart, most of us, but just in case, you know, let us say together the great invocation and then prepare for the full moon, which is coming up in just about 6 hours, or at least maybe 7 hours. Although our broadcast begins in 5 hours and a half. So, together then, and resolved to do good and to prepare the form for the descent of the soul and for the eventual registration of the spirit. The great invocation. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out. And may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Oh. Friends, I appreciate your meditation. And we're, you know, just adding a little bit to what other groups are doing and what hierarchy is doing. We have a little bit of time now before the actual full moon. If you're awake, you know, then try to strengthen your apprehension of the energies and your understanding of I am the mother and the child, I God, I matter am, and Christ in you, the hope of glory. Maybe we'll see some of you at the broadcast, which begins at 3 a.m. at the usual YouTube link, which is in the chat box here. In case you don't have it by now, you certainly should have it. And if you are not on the Moria Federation constant contact list and you would like to be, then please write to me, infinitize8@gmail.com, or write to Joe Waltz or B.L. Allison, and we'll make sure that you're on the constant contact list, which is probably the best way of being informed about what we're offering, both in terms of these meditations and the classes that are being offered as well. So see some of you before long. Might be the dead of night for some, but yeah, for the USA, I think it's gonna be kind of, well, maybe not too bad, maybe not too bad. I think for some places you'll be okay. And we'll do our best to be very sensitive to the ambient Virgo energies, which we will use constructively to help bring about what we understand of the divine plan. So we'll convert this. It'll take a little while, and then you can have it, but I don't think you'll have it yet before the actual full moon broadcast. But we'll get it to you. And do go to Makara. There's lots of videos and things available there, and also on the YouTube channel. Enough to keep you busy and learning and learning and learning. Okay, bye-bye for now, and many blessings. Many blessings.